Today we're going to be in Matthew, and it's going to be chapter 8, and primarily in verses 23 through 27. And this is CSB Bible, and that's the same Bible that is in the back of or the chairs. And what do we say? They're not pews, they're chair Bibles. Is that what we decided to call them last week, right? The chair Bibles, right? The chair. And what I noticed that was cool was the Psalm 66 was on 505, and that was the same thing for my Bible. And so this is on page 862, and I don't know if that's the same for you. Is it? Look at that. CSB, look at you go, right? All right, so 862 is where we are going to be today. All right, and I'm going to, I get really excited, right? Like, I get excited about the word. I like this story a lot. And we're talking about Jesus calming the storm. And these are stories that we normally look at when we're first coming to faith, and we get really pumped up about this because we're like, man, look at what Jesus can do. But then as we keep walking with God, eventually we kind of tend to forget these types of stories. And we start looking for trying to learn bigger things about God and maybe higher things about the church. But let us not forget, like, God is, this is still the same God that we serve. And so I'm going to go ahead and read this passage for us first so that we can make sure that we are familiar with it. And then we'll go ahead and start going into our applications and things. So starting in verse 23, as he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus kept sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to die. He said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Right, and so there's a lot of, even though this is a small section, there's a lot of things that we can pull out from here. But the first thing that is always important is for us to make sure we understand the story. We want to know what's happening here. First of all, it says, as he got into the boat, his disciples followed. Well, why are they even in the boat to begin with? If we turn back just a little bit before this section, I just want to briefly go over what Jesus says to lead them into the boat. And this is in verse 18, and it says, this is the cost of following Jesus. And when Jesus saw a large crowd around him, he gave the order to go to the other side of the sea. So this is Jesus who has instructed them to go to the other side of the sea. And this is why they're going to get into the boat. And a scribe approached him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And as Jesus is leading these disciples across the sea, this scribe comes and talks to him, and Jesus is already telling him what it cost him to follow the Lord. And he says, foxes have dens and birds have, you know, the sky have nests. And these are the comforts of life that we tend to look to. We try to look for homes, things of prestige, things that we can be protected within. But Jesus says, that's not what I have to offer. I have no place to lay my head. I offer you comfort, but not the comfort you're expecting. And as he continues, another one of his disciples says, Lord, first let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So the cost of discipleship, before we've even got into this, Jesus has ordered his disciples to go across the ocean or the sea with him. But he's laid out two conditions on which to follow him. And that is the comforts that we are expecting to have. We cannot rely on the comforts of this world if we're going to follow Jesus. Because homes, cars, money, those things that we tend to trust in the most are things that Jesus is not going to give us. And he will provide for us, but at the same time, he's asking us to trust him more above these things. The second thing that we see that when he asked the disciples to follow him is that let the dead bury their own dead. And what this ends up being is the timing issue. So when we follow Jesus, he's asking us to sacrifice the things that we find the most comfort in, but he's also expecting it to be on his time. And now he's leading them to the other side of the ocean. And so our first point, after Jesus has already given this warning to the disciples, he tells them, we're going to go to the other side of the sea. And Jesus leads them into this boat. And so we have 3 points today, and what we're going to see through this storm is that Jesus leads us. He leads us. And as he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And you have to think that as this boat, if you do any kind of research, typically the boats are something about 15 feet long, about 4.5 feet high sides. So maybe about 12 to 15 guys can fit inside this boat. And if there was a large crowd trying to get to the other side of the ocean, there's probably some kind of jockeying for position. You know, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be in the boat. I don't want to walk around. I want to take the easy way across the ocean. And so when they got in the boat, there has to be something where some guys felt a little bit better. I'm a little bit closer to Jesus during this time, right? I'm following Jesus. I'm in the boat. We've got it easy. But God has already warned him. Jesus has already warned them not to be trusting in this timing, not to be trusting in the comforts that the world has to offer. And at this point, when they got into the boat, we see suddenly a violent storm has arose on the sea. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a violent storm arose on the sea. So the boat was being swamped by the waves. Now, these guys are probably, some of them at least had to be experienced fishermen. Some of them had to be able to know what that boat was capable of doing. And yet, the boat is being swamped by the waves. And as it's being swamped by the waves, we see something that's very important to us. And that is that Jesus is sleeping. Right? Jesus is sleeping during this time. And so what we have to see for Jesus leading us is that a lot of times we go to him thinking that he's going to lead us around the storms. We go to Jesus thinking that maybe he's going to make our lives a lot easier. But that's not really the case for this. What we have to see is that though Jesus leads us, as he should, he's leading us into the storm. All this stuff, like we see that the storm popped up suddenly. Nobody would have got into that boat if they knew that there was going to be a big storm on there. Everybody would have thought Jesus had lost his mind. But because everything looked okay, because everything looked like this was going to be the easiest path, they decided to go ahead and get into this boat. Now, this storm that came suddenly and violently arose, and that, as we see that in verse 24, right? This violent storm arose. And Jesus is sleeping. The disciples came and had to wake him up, right? And as they wake him up, we see that they say, "Lord, save us. We're going to die." Now, there is a dichotomy of what's happening in the midst of this storm. And that dichotomy is that Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is at rest. But we see his disciples are in a panic. They are fearful. And so this is a way that Jesus challenges us. This would be our second point. Jesus challenges us. Not only did he lead us into the storm, but he challenges us within the storm. See, if he's sleeping in there, that has to say something about his soul. That has to be something about what he's perceiving about the events that are around him. And yet that also says something about what the disciples are seeing. If they think that the ocean is about to swamp this boat, and that they have to wake up their Lord to call him out to say, "Hey, we're dying, you need to save us." Now, to the disciples' credit, they do something that they're supposed to do. They turn to Jesus in order to ask for help. Like, that is the best thing that we can ever do. But how many times do we actually do that? Like, when we're in our own lives, when we're being swamped by the storms, this last week when you were going through things and you felt like life was out of control, when the situations were too difficult, when you didn't know where to go to, did you turn to Jesus? Did you ask for him to save you? See, when we look at this text, we think, man, these guys were in a very perilous situation. Yet the problem is that this is no different than any other day of our life because we're always reliant upon Jesus to save us. See, if Jesus doesn't provide for us, if Jesus doesn't lead us, if Jesus doesn't take care of us, then anything can suddenly turn into a disaster for us. And the interesting response that we see in verse 26 is he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And that's something that we should end up asking ourselves a lot too, is that why are we afraid? You know, if we are Christians, if we believe that Jesus Christ is going to save us from the wrath of God, if we believe Jesus is going to take care of us and he is our way for salvation, then why are we afraid? What in this life, what does this life have to throw at us that Jesus Christ can't solve? See, and when he says you of little faith, it's of insufficient faith. You see, it's not that they don't have any faith, it's just that their faith is incomplete, that their faith needs to be worked on. And so this is how Jesus challenges us in the midst of these storms. We see, do we really believe what Jesus tells us? Are we really believing in the words of God, or are we trusting in something different? See, at this point, these disciples were not really trusting in Jesus before this moment. They're trusting in the boat. They're trusting in the boat that man made. They were trusting in their own perceptions because they thought that there would be no storm ahead. They thought they were trusting in their own skills to be able to get through this, that they figured that they were strong enough to be able to follow Jesus into this boat and get to the other side. It seemed like a simple task. And yet, that's not what happened here, because out of nowhere, all of a sudden a storm came and it shook their world so much so that it called them to action. It called them to not know what they were able to do on their own. It called them to reach out for a savior because they felt that their life was in danger. So for us, who are we crying out to? What are we trusting in? When things were difficult for the week coming up, are we going to be, when we find ourselves afraid, are we going to be taking those fears to Jesus? Or are we going to be taking those fears to something else? What ends up becoming really amazing in this is as we continue in verse 26, when it says, Jesus answers their prayer. When he says, when they finally wake him up and he says, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? And then Jesus does something. He answers their prayer. He answers this prayer by standing up. And you know what he does? He says, it says, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And Jesus stood up, and he speaks the same life-giving words that we find in Genesis, the same life-giving words that brought this world into creation. That is the type of Savior we follow. Those are the words that our Savior gives. And those are the same words that we have written inside our Bibles today. So when we are here finding ourselves in trouble, we have to be turning back to his word. We have to know that in these words are the words of life. Jesus speaks to us through the Spirit. And a great calm came over this storm. And what we have to see with this too is that there were molecules of water, molecules of oxygen, molecules of nitrogen that all suddenly ceased when he said to stop. That is incredible power. Power that you can't comprehend. It's more than a nuclear bomb. It's more than anything man can make. And all he did was stand up and speak. And when he spoke, great calmness came over them. Great calmness came over the storm itself. All of creation obeys him. And we are no different because we are also created in his image. So when we hear his words, when we are rebuked of our sin, when we are called to do something different, when we are called to talk to our neighbors, do we think that we are outside of the purview of his control? Are we going to be ones that also listen to his words? Are we going to understand that they bring calmness and peace into our lives? As finally, as we continue in verse 27, we see that the men were amazed. And they said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. The men were amazed, right? And God answered their prayer. And we call out to God, maybe not as often as we should. Maybe we call out to him a lot. But when he answers our prayers, what are we doing with that? Are we amazed when God moves in our lives? Do we call out to that? Do we thank him for that? Do we appreciate it? Are we seeing that in other people's lives as well? Because God has been moving within this church. And we see him answering people's prayers at least weekly, if not daily, if we're in communication as we should be. And when we see that, are we pointing those things out? Are we able to appreciate God moving, or we just take it for granted that he's going to do that? See, we also should be asking, what kind of man is this? Because our Jesus Christ became man, he's fully man and fully God. And they saw that even the winds and the sea obey him. And besides answering our prayer here, we see one last thing, is that Jesus didn't only answer their prayers and then saving them, but Jesus also answered their prayers by revealing to them who he is. He is the God of the universe. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he is the one that controls all of creation. And this story links itself to another passage in Matthew 26, and I would like to read it to you right now. And this is that, is a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples to sit here a while I go over there and pray. And taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little further, he fell down on his face and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples, and you know what he did? He found them sleeping. And see, we see that the roles are reversed here. See, there's a bigger storm that this has always been pointing to. It's not the storms of our lives. It's not the storm of the sea. It's the storm of God's wrath that's always been coming for us. And we as men and women have not always seen it coming, but Jesus himself has always known this is coming and that he would come to take the place of this. And he says, as he found them sleeping, he says, couldn't you stay awake with me for one more hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came again, and he found the disciples sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. And see, this points, again, the disciples had to wake Jesus up to save their lives. But that really wasn't the problem. That really wasn't where their lives needed to be saved. They didn't need to be saved from a storm of wind and water. They needed to be saved from their own sin. And after leaving them, again in verse 44, it says, after leaving them, he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said, Are you still sleeping and resting? See, the time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. My betrayer is near. And looking at this and all the stuff that we've gone through throughout the week, we can see that there are all these little storms that we may have, and these storms may seem significant to us. These storms may seem like the world is about to end, but that's not what is going to happen. See, Jesus is walking us through these storms. He's not only led us into the storms, but he plans on leading us through these storms. You see that Jesus not only challenges us, but he challenges our faith in the moment. He challenges us and asks us, what is it that we are really trusting in? And we only see how that's going to happen when the pressure comes, when we are in the middle of what we perceive as the storm. And at that moment, our true faith comes out. We see how much we really trust in God, and we see how much we really trust in other things. And I'm telling you, throughout this week, if you look back, you've probably reached to a lot of different things before you actually reach to Jesus. He ends up being our last resort, not our first call. And that's shame on us. He doesn't deserve that kind of response. He is the God of the universe. I know a lot of our stories, and I know a lot of us are going through a lot of difficult things. And that's okay. But we have to know that Jesus didn't promise that he would lead us around those things. He promised he would lead us through those. And he's promising to grow us in the midst of those things, just like he did in this storm that we saw. The storm brought in all the emotions. The storm brought in all the fear. It brings in all the panic. And in that moment, faith is actually realized. When we can see that it's not a boat that can save us. It's not finances that can save us. It's not a spouse, a friend, or some kind of powerful person that can save us. Then we can turn to him and see that the Creator God is the only one who we should be putting our faith in. And he can use that moment to grow our faith. And we'll see that in the midst of these trials, as he's challenging us, he's going to answer our prayers, but he's going to answer our prayers in ways that we could never, ever imagine. Because nobody in this story ever thought for a second that Jesus would just stand up and talk and that the winds and the waves would stop. There is no way that anybody thought that would happen. And when the first time you ever heard that story, you didn't think that would happen. And now we take it for granted. See, this is still the same God. The same God we should be trusting in right now. No matter what storm we are facing, no matter what's going to happen today, tomorrow, throughout this week, this is the God that we should be trusting in. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God with us. And he doesn't do this because he has to do it. He doesn't do it because we're good. He does it because he loves us. Because he's good. And the only thing we can do is call out to him and embrace his character and embrace his mercy and embrace the salvation that he offers us, not by our good works, but by the good works of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is the salvation we need, not from winds and storms, but from salvation from the wrath of God, which we are all under. See, that's what Jesus Christ came to do, and that's what he shows us in this storm, that he is the God of all things, and that he does these things because he loves us. Jesus sleeps in the midst of the storm, and I can't tell you how many hours of sleep I've lost from being in various storms that I've gone through. I mean, how many hours of sleep have you guys lost? Was it this last week? Has it been over the last month? I mean, there's a lot of problems that we have gone through. And yet, we see that that's not the storms that Jesus really... Look, Jesus cares about everything, but he has a will, and his will is stronger than our will. We want to get through the little storm. Jesus wants to get us through the big storm. He wants to get us through the wrath of God so that we can have rest, not just rest here on this planet, but eternal rest with him, eternal rest in his presence. And that's what we see in the story, that the safest place was not on the other side of the lake, but the safest place was in his presence, even when he was sleeping. And it seemed like he was doing nothing, like he was inadequate at the time. Jesus Christ was still the safest place you can possibly be at, is just be in his presence. And that's what he's calling us to do. And that's what he's calling us to realize. So as we go into this week coming up, even as we go to the end of this church service and we see that there's going to be storms for us to experience, let us know that Jesus Christ is walking amongst us and he is calling us to trust him, not in anything else that we can perceive, but to know that he can move in mighty ways, ways stronger than we can ever imagine. And that's cool because then we get to experience him and we too can be amazed. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to gather. And we just thank you that we can see how you challenge us, Lord, that you challenge our faith, how we see, Lord, that we trust in other things and our eyes are blind to that unless you reveal it. And you can only reveal it to us through pressure. And this comes through the storms. Lord, just thank you for the storms, and we don't do that enough. We want to avoid them at all costs. We want a life of ease and comfort, and that's not what you promise us. You promise us that you will be enough and that you will get us through it. We ask, Lord, that we'd be able to trust you as you lead us. We ask, Lord, that you would just guide us not only into the storms, that we would know that you get us through the storms. We ask, Lord, that you would grow our faith in you and that we would see the gospel proclaimed in amongst this body, that we'd be able to see forgiveness and grace and mercy grow, that we'd be able to see, Lord, that as we call out to you, you answer our prayers. We ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us in new ways, that we'd be able to see that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that you dwell amongst us with the Holy Spirit. And we just ask, Lord, that we would turn to your word often, that you would be our first call, not our last resort, that we would know that there is nothing in this world that could save us, that it is only you alone. We ask, Lord, for your salvation, that we'd be able to respond to it, that we'd respond to you in faith, knowing it is you, Lord, that went for the Father, that it was you that had to go through the biggest storm of all, which was experience the wrath of God that we all deserved for our sins. And we just ask, Lord, that we would see the hope that because you rose again 3 days later, you will always get us through the storms that we experience in this life. Lord, allow us to be refreshed going into this week. Allow our relationship to you, with you, to be renewed. Allow us to desire to experience you in new ways and to embrace all the situations you have in store for us. Lord, we love you so much. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to work on us and to shape us into the people you desire us to be. Thank you so much for this storm, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.